And handle the truth. Truth.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We are speaking with Matthew. Matthew, you want to go ahead, huh?
Yeah. Well, Matthew, let me finish that one sentence. They make something. It's a black plastic. It's called bird net. It is a gigantic plastic net. Cut it to size, whatever you want with the scissors. But you drop that over the top of your bush, and that pretty much takes care of the bird situation. It won't stop the possums from walking in under, but that's another game altogether.
I appreciate that. Just one other thought I had was, besides maybe covering saving seeds from different plants and yes. Preserving food and, well, I've listened to you for a while. Canning, dehydrating, fermenting. Mm-hmm. All these thoughts are rambling through my head. If people can do a camouflaged food forest where the crops don't stand out, like don't plant bright orange pumpkins and stuff where people can see there's food, but if you can camouflage it, it might survive, you know, roaming hordes for a while. But the other thing is guerrilla gardening. If you've got unused land that nobody's claimed or owns, you could plant food there to help, even if it's miles from you, if you know nobody goes there or knows it's there. If you don't have a lot of land for yourself, it also, like Johnny Appleseed planted apple trees all over America. Mm. People could be planting fruit trees and berry bushes and help stave off the pandemic that's coming.
There's another thought on that, along that line. Now, Curtis Stone, one of my favorite market gardeners, not particularly well-heeled individual, he talked to his neighbors, and you'd be amazed how many neighbors will make a deal with you if you will give them a certain percentage of what you grow. They'll let you use their backyard. They don't care. Most people really aren't doing much with the backyard anyway. So it doesn't have to be miles. Make a deal with somebody that is nearby that you think is a decent person and see if that doesn't work out.
A sharecropping.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a great idea.
And you'd be helping somebody. Yeah, that's okay.
Yep. All right. Well, that's all I had. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you, Matthew. Okay.
Yep. Bye.
Well. Okay.
Well, you know, with respect to the squash thing, before we move out of there, let me say this. I've got the South Anna butternut squash, which is supposed to be one of the most virus, fungus, mold resistant plants out there. I'm going to put it in the next couple weeks. I have no idea if I'm going to get away with it because growing winter squash when we thought we were supposed to, you know, in the late summer and fall, never worked for me, never did. Although I will be hitting it hard with the copper spray and spinosad to keep the pests and the virus off and the downy mildew and the powdery mildew down. If I get away with it, great, because I understand this South Anna butternut squash is a very long-term squash. It really stores like 6 months, I think. So we'll see. I mean, I got nothing to lose but 25 seeds, so I'm going to give it a go. Now, before we move on to generators, coffee. I forgot. I got to change it. Before we move on to generators and coffee, did you want to
hear? I'm having real bad internet connection problems, but we do have a caller. We've got Gene in Kentucky on line 9. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure because it's making strange noises. I cover my blueberry bushes with, I have hardware cloth. No, I used to have hardware cloth. Fencing around them, like field fencing, and then I cover that with shears, old shears that I buy, like from the church thrift store. I've collected quite a mass of them. That keeps them out. And that, well, that not only keeps out the birds, it kind of keeps out the insects, too, and I've still got them covered, right, even though I've got too many berries left. And my kombucha squash, I still got it from last year. I planted in the spring, and I picked it right before frost, and I still have it.
Now, where did you say, Kentucky?
What?
You're down Kentucky way? Kentucky? Where were you? Where were you living? Okay.
Kentucky, lower Kentucky.
Kind of know what do you got, zone 6? Zone 7?
I think so, but I have everything in those raised bins made out of hardware cloth and wire. And it's kind of a mistake in a way because I have to water every day and stuff has gone to pot because I've got plenty of water. But one of my tanks leaked, and it's just a hassle getting in there watering all the time. I was in there last night. We had this pitiful rain the last few days, so whatever. But I still like my bins, but like I said, I wish I'd only made them like 12 inches tall instead of 24 and 36. But they still hold the water
Gene, they make an epoxy for fixing radiators in cars of plastic now. They make an epoxy you get at the auto parts store, which will plug a leak that's actually leaking.
No, mine leaked because my valve was bad on my tank.
Okay.
Yeah, and I usually kept a brass cap on it, and I didn't this time. I just kept the hose, and I had the hose upright, but then the hose fell down, and so I lost that 300 gallons of water, you know. And
I've got a situation that'll kill you.
Yeah, but I've still got other tanks, and I have a guy supposed to bring me some more today. Right. He works at a distillery, so he gave them to me free, you know, whatever. That's what my main thing I called about is talking about my kombuchas last so long and the shears on the berries, because I didn't cover the blackberries.
What about a taste test on that kombucha squash? Do you like those?
It's okay, but I prefer the butternut squash. I'm not sure what variety it is. Because I got the plants from another guy a couple years ago, and I just keep replanting them, you know. But it's delicious. Butterscotch. I think he told me they might have been butterscotch, butternut, or something like that. Real sweet.
Butternut.
Yeah, butternut. Yeah, butternut, butterscotch. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, that's all I've got to add.
Yeah,
y'all take care.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
The eight things you can still plant in August if you're not in Mexico or Alaska. There is and you can get these seeds either from Haas or if not that, certainly get them from Baker Creek. There's a green out there. It's an Asian green called Komatsuna. It is a mustard type green, but not as spicy. Carrots. Most people have a fit. I have a fit with carrots. Carrots take a long time to germinate, and if you don't keep the seeds cool and wet, if you try to plant them out this time of year, you probably have no luck. I've been thinking very seriously of germinating them in trays and then planting them out. You don't have to plant one seed at a time. You would just put a pinch in each cell because they don't mind being bunched together. Carrots is something, if you've got hard soil, tough soil, you can plant something called an oxheart carrot, which is more of a beet-shaped carrot. It does not mind hard soil. Bunching onions is something that you can plant, kohlrabi, cabbage, beets, broccoli, and parsley. These are all things that you can be planting now under these circumstances. So, you know, August, yes, it is hotter than all get out. Most of these days here lately for me have been 3 t-shirt day. You know, I'll wait till I can't take it anymore, strip off a t-shirt, put on a dryer one. I feel like $1 million. I run outside, and 10 minutes later, I feel like a U.S. $1 bill. Tim, is that your connection going bad again? Ken, are you there?
Yeah, buddy, I just got a super bad
internet connection. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you, but all I'm getting is a ton of static.
Sorry, I've done everything I can. But anyway, what was Rick?
There was no question. The question was, can you hear me? August, yes, it's hot. Gardening is irritating. You may find that someday you have to garden regardless of the temperature, so you might want to get used to it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, Rick. It's either get used to it or go hungry, basically. You said you had a 500-gallon rainwater supply.
No.
Is that one big tank?
No. What I've got is actually what I have is 1, 2, 3. I've got 4 275-gallon totes, but only two of them are actually hooked to the gutter. As soon as I get a moment, I need to get the others hooked up. You don't realize, you do these things thinking you should, and then the water won't come on, and all the neighbors are panicking, saying, Rick, can I use your water? And you're like, yeah, gosh, sure, of course you can. But then you realize that was a good thing that I did. That was a good thing. A real good thing. So I really need to, I'll probably wait until the temperature goes under 100 degrees before I try that. But things, things have been tough to irritating around here lately. Do you want to talk? There was that lady called right at the end of the show last week, and I promised we would talk about generators, and I just don't want to.
Okay.
Ignore the lady's request. Do you want to do any of that or what?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's talk about generators. Let's talk about homeowner stuff. Let's talk about the other end of it, like you've got. Let's talk about brushless generators. Let's go there.
All right. Well, here's the deal, folks. Generators fall into a number of categories. We don't need to go into all of them, but the ones that would be of interest to our listeners would be the common everyday garden variety gasoline generator that you can get. They probably sell them at the gas station by now. You can get them anywhere. Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, probably Walmart, all the farm supplies. The problem that you're going to have is that generator, let me finish the list. You can get the little inverter generators, which I love. They'll still pull as much as 3,000 watts, and they're very quiet because what they're doing is they're producing DC current and then inverting it to AC. So the motor doesn't have to work very hard. They're little. You pick them up. You can carry them around. They're very portable. They're very quiet. As we mentioned before once, these things run quieter than adult conversation. Not quieter than my grandkids, quieter than adults. So they run at about 61 decibels. And then you've got the hybrids, which are becoming a little more dual fuel generators, becoming more popular anymore. Like the Westinghouse, the Champion, and the Furman. These things are all in the neighborhood of $1,000, $1,100. They will use propane, and they will use gasoline. You've also got, I guess, my favorite, Rich, is the diesel generator. You know, and now the brushless military style diesel generator, and there is a reason, and we'll get into that. Your problem is going to be, for example, for a gas generator, you're talking 5 gallons of gas, 14 hours at best. Okay, where in the world are you going to put all of this gasoline? You know, you got problems. So propane, of course, stores in tanks and stores forever. Gasoline, you know, even with things like Seafoam or Stabil, it's going to be tough hanging on to that gasoline for more than a couple of years. I mean, it'll run, you know, if you take real good care of it. Diesel, if you put military-grade storage in there, the military-grade juice called PRID, PRID is in diesel. There's also a PRIG for gasoline, too. But
it's still only good 3 to 5 years, Rick. And, you know, the only way I can see keeping a viable supply is to cycle it out. In other words, you know, use it for your home gasoline needs other than a generator, and then add fresh to it with fresh PRIG.
Well, yeah. And the only thing about, of course, you know, having 50 gallons of gasoline in a somewhere is you've got 50 gallons of gasoline somewhere. And if you've ever seen that stuff burn, it's enough to make you wet your drawers. So, you know, diesel isn't nearly as flammable. It's a lot safer. It's an oily substance. It actually is fairly difficult to get burning, and it stores a lot longer.
Yeah.
As long as you run it through a dryer, they make a pump. Yeah, the pump is one of these, you jerk on it back and forth. You pull it back and forth, and it will suck the diesel out of a tank and put it, it's got a hose on it. You can put it wherever you want, in a tank. But it's got a water filter. It's got a dryer. It's got a water collection bottle on it so that as it runs through, it takes the water back out, because storing things like diesel long-term, the tank sweats, tends to get water in it, and so you just get that back out of there and you're good to go. Brushes are a big deal. I've got generators, probably 1, 2, 3, 4 generators, a couple of gas. One is a gas LP conversion, and the other two are military-grade frontline units that I got from the government. Diesel. Brushless diesel.
I've seen them, folks. They're fantastic.
They are fantastic. What they'll do is they will use airplane-grade wiring. In other words, the wiring in these things is coated with a hard, clear plastic so that vibration never wears through them. When these things were new in the 70s, that's of the last century, they were about $3,500 in 1970s dollars. And I have no idea what they are now. I got mine for about $650 a piece. They had hours on them ranging from 76 hours to 125, which is nothing for a diesel generator. That's nothing at all.
That's not even breaking. Hey, Rick, hold that thought, buddy. We got a break. 1-800-313-9443, folks. We'll be back in 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If you're down and confused and you don't remember who you're talking to, concentration, slip away, because your baby is so far away.
Welcome back to the Real Survival Show. Okay, gentlemen.
Yeah, we were talking about generators, Rick.
Yeah, well, let me finish my thoughts on my date with the diesel, and then let me go back for a second. Incumbent liquidators used to have the military contract to take all of the generators that they were collecting from all the Army bases and Air Force bases around, and rotate them out, and then buy new ones, of course. So there are websites that you go to, and you look, you shop, and you look at, they'll give you pictures of them. They'll tell you what the rating is. They'll show you all angles of the thing. They'll show you the nameplate there. And then there'll be a bidding process. And somebody at one point always seemed to stop bidding. They quit. Your major competitor would never go any higher than about $500, $550. And if you want any higher than that, that was yours. And then you would pay a company called Fast Track Logistics to pick it up and bring it to them. So what we have here is a military-grade diesel generator, electric start, delivered to your door. I think they were charging, I think it was coming out to around $200 to $250 to get the trucking firm to pick it up. And if not bring it to you, they would take it to their depot near you, and you would go get it. These things are not light. They're 440 pounds without the batteries. It's a 24-volt. It's an industrial-grade military, so it's going to be a 24-volt start. You can either buy a 24-volt battery, you can do what I did, which is go to AutoZone, get two real nice Duralast batteries, good ones, put them up in series so you run at 24 volts.
Right.
And start it like that. And we bought, between me and my brother, probably 5 or 6 of them. They have all started. None of them haven't started. It takes a while because they run the diesel all the way out. So, you know, you've got to, and glow plug. It's got a glow plug heater on it. So you can tickle the fuel up there using a tickle valve, and then you hold the glow plug on for about 10, 15 seconds. All the instructions are right on there. But like all diesels, once the glow plug is hot, it fires up pretty quick. So with the batteries and everything, with the freight, you're in there at about $1,200 for a brushless military-grade diesel generator, 3,000 watts. It's nothing to pay exactly that for a brand-new gas unit. The Champion Dual Fuel, which is propane and gas, is about $1,050. The Firmin, F-I-R-M-I-N, I think it is $1,100. The Westinghouse is $1,060. By the way, Westinghouse makes a little inverter generator for $520. Some of you might be interested in that. The Pulsar people also make a little inverter generator for $500. Champion, aside from their dual fuel, also makes a 3,500-watt inverter for $677. I guess one of my favorites, the Generac GP3000i as inverter, is about $800. Last Christmas it was $600. You see where things are going, right? So the ones that I bought are O&M generators with Cummins diesels on. So you're talking two major O&M generator is what huge buildings use to power up when things go down. And Cummins diesels, who doesn't know what Cummins diesel is? MEP is a military designation for mobile electric power. MEP 016B is the Onan's Cummins diesel 3,000 watt. Who has the contract now is Government Planet, www.govplanet.com. And
yeah,
if you go there.
My wish. Remember, Rick, they used to have what Sears catalog was called the Wish Book. Well, governmentplanet.com or govplanet.com is my wish website. I love looking at that.
Well, you can wish, but you'll also be fucking around with a candle when the electric comes out. So, you know, wish.
Yeah.
Wish away, young man. Don't lean on your shovel praying for a hole. Don't lean on your shovel praying for a hole. I honestly, I apologize. That lady who called in, I think she was from the Southeast. right at the end of the last show. I hope I'm kind of covering.
Hey, bud, you got a break.
This is really coming fast and furious.
Yeah. 1-800-319-4443. Back in three, folks.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We were talking about generators. Have we covered everything we needed on that one? Or?
Yeah, I think we were going to do some coffee and less. By the way, nice work, Ken. I love your work, buddy.
right?
And less. Yeah. The guy's brilliant. Unless Timmy has something specific. We've got a few minutes here to talk about roasting coffee.
Let's go to the coffee, Rick. People can do their own research on the generators for what they need.
Or if they want to approach one particular subject, one generator they think might be right for them, and they have a question, they call. Although, my God, if you don't have a generator, don't let me catch you, man. I will beat you like a running deal. So with coffee.
Hey, wait. Rick, before you go there, we have Tom in Utah, and he's got yours. Tom?
Yes.
Hi there, Lori. Rick and Tim. On generators, one thing I want to make sure people are aware of, and that's the fact that they produce carbon monoxide. So the recommendation by the CDC, that trustworthy agency, of course, is that you have that unit no closer than 25 foot, but actually recommended 50 foot away from any space that you're living or working in. In other words, it needs to be out away from your housing or away from your garage, wherever you're running it. So it's outside and at least 25, preferably 50 feet away from your living or working space.
Well, that makes sense, Tom.
It really does. You know, cables are not that expensive to keep it away from your house.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's a propane, diesel, or gasoline. All three produce carbon monoxide and even formaldehyde is a consequence.
My audio connection, so if anybody's talking to me, I can't hear it.
No, you're fine. Tom was talking.
Well, what I'm saying is I can't receive, apparently.
Okay.
That's interesting. Now's the time to say something foul to Tim if you want to.
Well, this is a rough ride, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Tom, that's good information. Folks should bear that in mind, and as such, remember that as you move that thing further away, you're going to get a somewhat of an amp drop in longer cords. But you should plan for that. Don't wait until the day the electric finally goes out, and then say, "Oh, hell's bells, where am I going to put my generator?" I know, I'll put it in the kitchen. Don't be crazy. Try it out one time. Try it once, and then you'll know. Try it. And you should try it before an emergency occurs. If you haven't, you're going to be in for a real rough time.
Oh, by the way, is the site?
Yes, go ahead.
As a side note to that,
yes.
Mainly people are going to want to run a generator to keep their food frozen. That's where I was mentioning last time, the best way to preserve food is to dry it. Then you don't need a refrigerator to maintain its safety.
Exactly. Well, like I mentioned last week also, Rick, I told everybody that I would post some recipes online for your dry ingredients to go into your jars for meals for your families. They are on our site. They're on Facebook at RealSurvival.show. I mean, Real Survival Show on Facebook. So if you want to go there, there's over 101 plus recipes that I found that look pretty good and easy to do. So take a look at those.
All recipes look pretty good to me. When I see it, I eat it. Yeah.
Well, Tom's right. If your generator goes out, you run out of fuel for it or whatever, you can't really depend on the electric to keep everything cold and frozen. That's why this is the Rural Survival Show. We have hopefully taught you how to at least garden, how to put dry ingredients up for meals for your family in case of emergencies, because if you don't have the electric to keep it, you're going to get hungry. So thanks for reminding us, Tom.
I bought a book, which I haven't used, but I intend to. I believe it's – I meant to look this up for the show, Doug, on it. I believe it's by a gal named Mary Clark, I think. And she has the dehydrator book. From hell, and it is a wonderful resource. And you might want to grab, if you can get a copy, for under $20 off Amazon, I think probably it would be very helpful. Tom,
the other,
I'd love to talk to you more, but we have to do coffee real quick. We're almost done.
The other advantage is that dried foods, garden foods, cannot carry bacteria or viruses.
This is true.
That is true. Yeah.
Only your flesh food can do that.
Right.
So, and flesh food you have to keep frozen or safe, right? So be safe. But garden food, it doesn't have to be frozen.
Well, there's what you got inputs there. You got energy, so it means you got to produce electric and all that. Tom's right. You know, it's nice to have food that doesn't rely on an energy source. Well, Tom, we got to get moving, buddy. I appreciate that. Call him in the first hour next week, and I'll see if I can brush up on dehydrating so we can talk about that.
By the way, give me a call off air. Let me tell you. Another term called vaccines by proxy. Work on that in your mind. Vaccines by proxy.
Right. Okay.
Right. Thanks, Tom.
Have a great weekend.
Well.
Okay, Rick.
Tom is correct. I mean, dehydrating is berries. It's you know, up there with fermenting, but easier. Coffee. It is opined, you know, coffee, we talked about this a couple years ago. Coffee you buy from the store, if you're one of those people buying Folgers in a can, first of all, you're wasting your life. Life is too short to drink bad wine or bad coffee, and I feel sorry for you. Well, actually, I envy you because you don't know the difference between decent and crappy coffee, and so you'll be happy forever, and that's, I envy you there. I unfortunately do. I do know the difference, and so I can't be satisfied with that what ifs. So, but, what is practical and also a fun hobby is roasting your own coffee. You can get green coffee beans from Berman's or the Green Beanery or Sweet Maria's or the Captain's Coffee. They all sell unroasted beans. What to roast them with? Well, you can roast them. I tried doing it in a wok over charcoal, and I got to tell you, when it's 90 degrees out and you're standing stirring, you got to stir for 30 minutes, and you use $7 worth of charcoal, you begin to think about this, and you're like, this sucks. You know, I'm going to actually come up behind on this, and now I've got to go take a shower. I'm sweaty. I stink. Anyway, so you can get a roaster. You can actually do it with a Jiffy air pop machine. If you're good, you know, you can actually probably make better coffee than you can buy if you practice. For $175 on the internet, you can get what I got, which is called a Fresh Roast 540, and is a coffee roaster which roasts a quarter of a pound at a time. And what is interesting to me is that When you roast coffee, you know, you think in terms of medium roast, light roast, dark roast, French roast, espresso roast. You think the way that's achieved is through temperature and time. It's just like cooking meat, really. There's well done, there's rare, you know. So French roast, you think, well, or espresso. You get a shot of espresso, and the first thing that runs through your head is, wow, man, this stuff's going to rev my motor. You know, this stuff will really get me going. Well, actually, humorously enough, it's the lighter roasts and the medium roasts that have higher caffeine levels. The longer you roast it, you're roasting the caffeine out. So things like French roast and espresso roast are actually lower, even though they taste harsh. They got it, you know, if you like espresso, and I do, or French roast, they actually are lower in caffeine. So what happens when you do a medium roast is when you do a medium roast, things are there that you will eventually cook away. One of the things that are there are some florals, some citric, some acid. It's more acidic, and also things like tropical fruit notes like apricot and other things. Apologies to the smokers, but if you smoke, you may or may not ever taste these things. but they're there nonetheless. So what I found was is that it's, for me, I've only been doing this a couple weeks, I can make a great French roast, and I can make a great medium roast, which is got caramel, maybe some apricot, some florals, a little more acidic. It's light and kind of spicy, which I don't care for all on its own. I've been drinking French roast so long, I'm a little burnt out on that. What I have not been able to do is get it right in the middle. So what I have been doing is making the medium roast, which I'm good at, and making the French roast, which I'm good at, and mixing them 50-50. And then I'm getting the dark chocolates that you get out of the darker roast, and I'm getting the apricot, floral, fruity, and acid out of the medium roast, and I'm getting that 50-50. And even though it was a bit of a shock when I first tasted it, on my second cup, I started thinking about this, and I'm like, wait a minute. This is way more complex than the charcoal that I'm used to drinking. And I started thinking about it, and now I'm kind of addicted to it. Plus, it's got more caffeine, here's the thing, too. I got to warn you. Experimenting with coffee will make you jumpy. It'll make you nervous and jittery. It's really fun. But, you know, if somebody walks in and says, what are you doing? I'm experimenting with coffee. What the hell are you doing? What do you think I'm doing? It's none of your business anyway. Get away. If you do that, you're going to have to take a break for a while. Okay? Stop experimenting with coffee for a few hours and maybe get a beer. Try to calm down. And then you can go back to it. But there is a coffee money saving calculator on the internet somewhere that shows that if you buy green coffee beans and a fresh roast 540, which is not the bottom of the line, not the top of the line coffee, it's just a middle one, in 26 weeks you'll start saving money. So I'm looking forward to, and by the way, if you drink a lot of coffee, 26 weeks will pass very slowly because you're hyperactive. It'll be like, you know, watching paint dry. But eventually 26 weeks will go by. And so, by the way, we're not that, you think we're far from Christmas, but we're only about 4 months away, 5 months away, so it's great. So that would be my overview on coffee roasting. The only other thing I would say is that the Indonesian and the Sumatrans are the ones you're going to take dark. I have been doing my medium roasts with those, but I think I can do better. If I get some Brazilian and Colombians, I think if I produce a medium roast using the South American beans, which you cannot do dark. They don't go dark. They just burn for some reason. Probably the sugar content. If I get some of the South American beans and do my medium roasts there and then mix those with the Indonesian Sumatrans, which would be my French roast, I think I can even up my game. So, and by the way, while we were just on the show, I did a load of decaf for tonight. We always, after dinner, like some decaf. It's a habit, is what it is. It's a habit. And so I did a French roast decaf for tonight. So the possibilities are just about endless. Do you guys have any thoughts on this matter?
I know you can buy coffee in, like, tea bags for individuals. So you can buy it that way where it's already in the bags. So just to make, you know, easy storage, like for tea and that. They make coffee the same way. But you can also buy just the tea bags themselves. And you can actually do, like Rick said, take your own blend of coffee, whether it's from the fresh bean or not, and grind them up and then stick them in the bags and then seal the bags so you have your own blend in those bags.
Where are you going to get these empty tea bags? I'd be interested in knowing that. Where are you going to get those? Off the internet?
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. Off the internet. Let me see. Prima makes one. P-R-I-M-A.
Who? What does it say again?
P-R-I-M-A.
Oh, okay, P-R-I-M-A.
Coffee.com. Yeah. You can get them online and fill them with the coffee that you like and seal them and store them for later on.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, we'll discuss that in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. We don't have any time for any more calls. We'll be back for our closing statements. Please.
Woke up this morning, look around for my shoes. You know I had the need of walking blues. Woke up this morning, look around for my shoes. Yeah. Some people try to tell the blues ain't so bad, but it's the meanest thing I ever had.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
I'm gonna wait till the midnight hour. That's when my love comes tumbling down. I'm gonna wait till the midnight hour when there's no one else around. I'm gonna take you, girl, and hold you and do all the things I told you in the midnight hour. Yes, I am.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, real quick,
hot
Rick.
Tub. Gotta kiss myself. Yeah. Hot tub.
This is what I was saying about the coffee bags, real quick, before we do our closing statements. Was
you can go to Primium. It's PRIMA-coffee.com, and it's equipment. You can buy just the tea bags, and they're $5 to $6 for a package of 10 of them, and they're specially made for coffee. So I did post it on our Facebook page, too, with the link in case any of our listeners wants to go there. But other than that, you know, it's a good way to do your coffee as well.
I tried to give my son a bag of my special to roast, and he says, I can't use this. I said, why the heck not? He says, I don't have a coffee pot. I said, what are you doing for coffee? And he says, I'm using the, what do you call it, the machine, one with takes the little K-cups.
I know what you're talking about.
I saw the scam. It's $60 a pound when you do it that way. But then again, he is the chief protein chemist, so he can do what he wants. I would prefer to do the prayer to St. Joseph if nobody cares.
Go for it.
St. Joseph, model of all those who are devoted to labor, which would be us, obtain for me the grace to work conscientiously, putting the call of duty above all my sins, to work with thankfulness and joy, considering it an honor to employ and develop by means of labor the gifts received from God, to work with order, peace, prudence, and patience. Oh, not patience. Never surrendering to weariness or difficulties, to work above all with purity of intention and with detachment from self, having always death before my eyes and the account which I must render of time lost, talents wasted, good omitted, vain complacency in success, so fatal to the work of God, all for Jesus, all for Mary, all after your example. O Joseph, this will be my motto in life and in death. Amen.
Thank you.
Excellent.
For all those that have to work, that's for you.
All right, Rick, anything else you want to cover now that I finally got internet back and I might be able to hear you?
No, I feel good. I think we got the garden thing covered, the coffee and the generators covered. I feel good about this. We'll talk about dehydrating next week. I think it's an excellent subject. I think it's largely overlooked.
Okay, Lori, real quick, you got about 30 seconds.
Just everybody have a great week. God bless and stay safe.
All right, folks, same time, same channel next week. May God bless America. May God bless our president and his advisors. And most importantly, may God bless you and you, yours. Bye-bye, folks.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcast.